Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Joel Allen is professor of religion and philosophy at Dakota Wesleyan University in Mitchell. His podcast, Biblical Conversations, is about to enter its second season, and it's available on all platforms. The podcast is an attempt to explore the Christian scriptures as a striking example of passionate engagement on issues of intense disagreement. Joel Allen joins us today to tell us more about this podcast and how it came about. Joel, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori. I'm very excited that you're interested in this topic, and so it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, passionate engagement on issues of intense disagreement. What's not to love about that? And it's a really dynamic podcast to listen to. It's very engaging. So I highly recommend people download that and subscribe. It's on all platforms, and I've found one of the things I notice is people who grew up in a church like I did. I've gone to different churches, since childhood as I've moved around. And sometimes you hear a voice and you're like, well, I never heard that from the pulpit.
Right.
And then you start wondering, why not? How come? So the kind of wrestling, with scripture that you do in this podcast isn't necessarily something you'd hear in a sermon. This kind of conversation, it maybe has a different place. Uniquely suited toward podcasting, by the way. Tell us a little bit about how this podcast came about for you.
Well, this has been a topic that I've struggled with my whole adult life. And really, to be honest, it started in seminary. One of my seminary professors gave a talk one time when all he did was trace through the Bible differing opinions on the connection between being a godly and holy person and experiencing the good life. And he just traced it through, and I found it absolutely fascinating because you have opinions that are all over the map on that issue. Starting off mostly in, the books of Moses, there's a tight connection. So there's promises that if you're really pious and you follow these laws that I'm giving you today, you'll be blessed, your children will be blessed, your fields will be blessed, everybody will be blessed, your armies will be blessed, everybody's getting a good deal here. So it's a great deal to follow God's laws is a great deal. And then as you read through the book, that you see the books of history are all set up on this model because they go into exile because they didn't keep God's laws. And then in the Psalms, we have a lot of Psalms that are asking, like, it doesn't seem to be working here. I'm doing everything that's right. Psalm 44 is a great example. I'm doing everything that's right here, and yet my life is a mess, and our armies are defeated, and we're not worshiping other gods. It actually says that. If we had stretched out our hands to foreign gods, you would know that, Yahweh, and yet, so it's a real complaint that the system set out in the books of Moses doesn't seem to be working here. And then you get into the books of Ecclesiastes and Job, and it really hits the fan. And then you get into the New Testament, and it's a totally different picture. There's a paradigm shift. So Jesus says, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus' response is, neither one of them sinned, which according to Deuteronomy, somebody sinned here, right? So we have these shifting ideas as we go through the Bible, and I became really interested in thinking about the Bible as like a history of ideas documenting people who have conflict. I mean, God's a big topic, and there are differences of opinion. And the more I started to see this, the more I saw it everywhere. And so it became, that's what I am trying to explore with this podcast.
And one of the things that, and you're in conversation in this podcast with other people. Why was that important to sort of bring other voices? One of the episodes I listened to, your friend is like, well, it says this, and you you're the pastor, and you say, I hadn't noticed that before. Like, he points out something to you that you really hadn't even considered.
Absolutely.
Why is that back and forth so valuable?
Yeah, some of the episodes are, I just am talking through the issues on my own, and then what I do is I'll find some friend of mine that wants to have a conversation, and then they'll listen to the episode, and then we'll have a conversation as a separate episode. And in some episodes, I've actually been sitting down with a person in a room, and we're just talking through the text. And that early one, a friend of mine, Adam Regels, and I sat down, and we talked through these texts and discussed it. And Adam was great. He'd ask me this basic question, so I go, oh my goodness, I'd never really thought of it that way before. But in that case, he noticed that we were looking at the way the Bible has has different understandings of God's punishment of the wicked. And so in some cases, it says he'll punish the wicked like to the third and fourth generation. And then we were reading another instance where it's kind of a similar passage, and it says to the second and third generation. And I just went, oh my goodness, you know, this is I hadn't really noticed that before. And so that's a whole other topic, although it's similar to the one I first mentioned, that in some places the Bible does indeed claim that Genesis chapter, right in the Ten Commandments. It says, you know, the second commandment, you know, have no other gods before me. And right in that context, there's this this claim that if people do have other gods, it says, I will punish children for their parents' sins to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And so as we trace that through the Bible, later you get to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel rejects the whole thing. I mean, yeah. Ezekiel says, the soul that sins, it shall die. The righteousness of the righteous can't be passed on another generation, and the sinfulness of the sinful can't be passed on. God judges us individually. And you know Ezekiel has Exodus 20 in front of him. I mean, it's the Ten Commandments, and he's directly rejecting it.
Yeah, that's and one of my questions, is how much are they aware of their own contradictory offering, you know, to this conversation? And that's legitimate. They have an awareness of what's going on. It's not like just people in different areas at different times saw this differently. They're in conversation with each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming, and I, you know, this, it's hard to know this for certain, but it does seem like there's a pretty striking awareness in Scripture of the previous tradition, because they keep referring back to it. They don't refer to it quite as much as we might expect, but they refer back to it quite a bit. In fact, you know, Hosea is very aware of the Exodus tradition. He talks about God bringing God's own son up out of Egypt. So Hosea, I mean, this is 600 years later, he's very aware of it. And so, so that tradition has hung on and is alive and well in the Jewish, in the Israelite community. And so while they may not, you know, have the text in front of them, they're aware of the big themes. And a perfect place where you can show that is right here in this text that I mentioned in Exodus 20, where it says God punishes to the third and fourth generation, that very passage is referred to about maybe even 10 times, where later you can see that a later writer, Nahum, refers to it. It's referred to in Jonah refers to it in a very funny way. Jonah kind of turns it on its head and says, God, this is why I knew I shouldn't go down to Nineveh and preach to them, because you're such a gracious and compassionate God. You're slow to anger and you're quick to bless. And when he says that, he is quoting Exodus 34. Yeah. And he's saying, and that's why I shouldn't have done what you told me to do, because I just went and I preached the, you know, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. And now you've had mercy on them. Thanks a lot. You're making me look like a false prophet here, you know.
Should've
stayed
home, yeah. And
he literally quotes Exodus 34 back in God's face as why he was right to ignore God in the first place,
right?
Which is so interesting, you know. But it shows that the author of Jonah knew Exodus 34. And so there's quite a bit of interaction and knowledge of what previous scriptures said, and kind of working with it and arguing back and forth. It's pretty. This is going on a lot in Scripture.
These are human beings trying to figure out the nature of God.
Absolutely. And it's a community conversation, and there's a lot of disagreement. There's agreement, too, and I don't want to only emphasize. There's this broad story they're all talking about. You know, God led us up out of Egypt. God created a good world. He made us in God's image, and God's wanting to restore the world through us. And I mean, they have a big picture here that's redemptive, biblical salvation history. But in the meantime, they're disagreeing with everything else. And so there's a lot of bickering going on within the community. But there's also conflict resolution, and that's why I found this such an interesting topic. The Bible has all these examples of intense disagreement and then finding resolution on a lot of these key topics. And so So I've increasingly looked to the Bible as an example of people who love each other that disagree heartily and yet are able to find resolution. And it's just not the typical way we think about the Bible. But it's, and I'm not saying other ways to think about the Bible are wrong at all. I mean, I embrace them too. It's more, you know, it's this is not meant to detract from other ways of seeing the Bible, but it's meant to add to it. And so, yeah.
Do you find though that, I mean, as a professor of religion, that you are also finding a generation of young people who are maybe turned off by how sometimes Christian scripture is used in the world, and they want to have that conversation, but sometimes right. You feel like you go places and the conversation is decided, thus saith the Lord, period. And this kind of opens a door to talk about in the Bible in a way and talk about, you know, the words of Christ in a way that you know, it doesn't feel like heresy, you know,
to say, I'm wondering
about that. Because, you know, you mentioned Jonah and lots of other people in Scripture, you know, they're not afraid to question.
Right.
To question God at all. Why are we today? So, you know, do you find, I guess my question for you is do you find that among students and young people that there is, you know, an exhalation, a hunger or a longing to kind of wrestle with that conversation and not have it be a period, but have it be, you know, an open door to what's next?
Yeah, I think that is spot on. There. In other words, that what we're kind of resisting is the, and I should say were, but I'm speaking for the millennial and the younger generations, that there's like a resistance of the over-authoritarian message of the scriptures, where it's kind of, and there's a desire to see this as a conversation where there's give and take. And so that's the thing about this that is, I think, so beautiful, is it allows us to look at scripture as a conversation that's going on for a long period of time, and that reason and experience play a role here. Because, I mean, for instance, the story about the intergenerational punishment, when we read that in Exodus 34, when you read that, God judging to the third and fourth generation, anybody goes, really? In other words, God could judge me for what my great-grandfather did? My great-grandfather's an idolater, and I have to pay for it? Is that real? You know, and so in the same way, the people in Scripture are asking that hard question. And eventually you get to Ezekiel and says, I don't even believe that anymore. I don't believe God judges people for the third and fourth generation. I think I'm more guilty for my own sins. And so, and what's fascinating, too, is within Scripture, there is a dynamic storyline that allows for pushback. I mean, Abraham pushes back against God in the whole in the episode about Lot and Lot being judged. Abraham is like, oh, God, what if there are 50 people in the city? And it's interesting, in the Jewish world, I did my PhD in a Jewish school, and in the Jewish world, there's a lot more of a sense of it's okay to disagree with Scripture.
Right.
There's a broad. In fact, they have a story. It's like a Haggadah, a story about the golden calf. And so they look at the golden calf story, and rabbis say, "Why was God so mad?" Because they were in Egypt for 400 years. Of course, they're going to pick up on some of the, you know, the practices of Egyptians. Why wasn't God more forgiving of this golden calf episode? And they tell a very interesting story about it to kind of illustrate. And they say, I'll see if I can make this real short, but they say, imagine if a guy was sold perfume, and he realized that his best customers were prostitutes. So he put his shop in the red light district of town. And then he's raising his children in the red light district. And he's a pious man, but he raises his children in the red light district. And then his sons grow up, and they're sleeping with prostitutes. And they come home, and he's like, what are you doing sleeping with prostitutes? And then this friend of his comes up and says, wait a minute, buddy. You're the one who chose to live here. So why are you so surprised your kids are sleeping with prostitutes? And it's like, and they're pushing back against God. You see the story. Right. I mean, God is depicted as being so mad about this, but God is the one that left him in Egypt for 400 years. So in other words, this is a story where they're kind of struggling with Scripture, and they're willing to express their frustration with the Bible, but that also leads to new ways of understanding. And so in the Bible, there's this tradition in the Jewish world, and especially in the interpretation of the Bible, there's a tradition that allows for that kind of struggle more than we tend to allow for in the Christian world. And I think young people today want that. They want to feel like they're a part of, they're actually a part of this conversation, yeah. And they get to push back, so, and that's okay.
In your worldview, don't throw it out. Like some people might come at it in a different direction because it's such a rich conversation.
Absolutely. And it's a conversation that has a great history that, and it's leading somewhere. Yeah. I mean, it's all a part of our belief that God intends to restore this planet to the community of shalom that it will be. And we get to create that those communities through finding resolution to conflicts in the here and now. And so
the podcast is called Biblical Conversations, and Joel, you're going to have to come back and we'll have some more topics for you to launch all from in this context. But meanwhile, it's Biblical Conversations, and Joel Allen is with Dakota Wesleyan University, professor of religion and philosophy there. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.